Hymns and fatherhood, learning from the wisdom and love that they both convey. And Guy Penrod knows a lot about both.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
From marriage to his college sweetheart to a career that went from studio singer to longtime Gaither Vocal Band gospel music fixture, now to the dynamics as a traveling solo artist but father of eight at home, this guy has the faith and family thing down. Guy, it's good to talk to you, and as we have a project that is hymns, it is solo, we are talking to you about your relationship with your dad, our relationship with our Heavenly Father, and my goodness, you're a model dad for us all to look at as you raise those eight kids. So it's good to have you here.
Oh, Daniel, thank you. It's great to be a part of the program. I would cringe at the words model dad. Brother, you don't know me good enough. I certainly would back away from that label. I know we all have a model father in our Heavenly Father, and
yeah,
he has to make up for all our inadequacies continually, but we certainly give it 100. It's not for lack of effort.
Sure.
We give it 100% effort. So we're just thankful for a great family. And I'm thankful for a wonderful wife to go through life with.
Well, and there's some freedom there in knowing that obviously you want the best for your kids and you want to be the best model, but there's freedom in knowing that even when you as a dad blow it, you mess up, you can
right.
be honest and vulnerable before your kids because you know your Father in heaven certainly has your back there and has covered it with his grace.
Absolutely. And you give them over to him and trust him with regard to all the inadequacies that we walk in as humans. But know that there is a benefit to a cognitive, thoughtful effort to approach parenting from a biblical perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, no doubt. I say the disclaimer most emphatically, but at the same time, I do say that as I have done right things as well, and that is to follow the precepts that the Scripture lays out regarding parenting and some of its teachings, they work, you know, so I can say that from experience as well. So.
And this project that you have obviously goes back into some incredible lyrics that are timeless, but obviously we don't just sing them just because it's nostalgic or you think about warm, fuzzy feelings growing up, going to church with grandma or something. But really, even here in this day and age, you can go back into the words of these songs and find comfort and hope that's eternal because they're speaking of things that come straight from Scripture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, that's hitting the nail on the head there. They're bigger. They're truths, you know, and they're born out of experience, most of these hymns on this record, as are a majority of the hymns, I think, out of either triumph or tragedy or, you know, loss or grieving or victory. So they apply to the human, period, whether you're a 2012 inhabitant or you were 1812, you know, the condition the human challenge from that perspective is much the same across, you know, time. I think just the circumstances that surround those things change somewhat. But yeah, the truth of those hymns and the encouragement found within a lyric like, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You know,
yeah.
That applies regardless of what time you live in, because
yeah.
we all hit those places where we need to get a good dose of perspective. And I love the soundness of that thinking, to look back at all the good things that God has done. It does tend to give us, you know, a good perspective as we move forward.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly. You will keep singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be disheartened, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give it to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. See what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done.
Penrod, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, a project that he's just released as titled Hymns, as we're talking about that project and these great songs of the church and of our faith and talking about fatherhood. And you're thinking about Count Your Blessings, that hymn, a song wonderfully about gratitude. I'm sure that is a big principle that was taught in the Penrod household, both from your growing up years and now you're teaching your kids as well, right?
Oh, definitely. I love the solidness of that thinking, actually, and you know, it rings true in your spirit, so you know to count your blessings. I've been taught that in my home growing up, but it was brought home to me again this spring. I was the grand marshal in the Mule Day Parade at Columbia, Tennessee. So,
nice.
You know, I was the head donkey, I guess, for the parade. And I had a fabulous time. And prior to doing it, there was a bit of a reception, you know, for the court. We had the Mule Day Queen and all her mm-hmm. court. And, you know, some dignitaries were there, our U.S. Senator Bob Corker, and then some more officials. So we had this reception. And in the context of our conversations in the reception, an older gentleman asked me what I did. And I told him I was a singer. He said, oh, wonderful. What records do you have? I told him, well, I just finished a hymns record. And he said, well, I must get it. I said, yeah. He said, well, I love the hymns. What's one of the hymns that's on there? And my mind went to Count Your Blessings immediately. So I said, well, have you ever heard the old hymn, Count Your Blessings? And he said, oh, yes, son, I have. He said, very, very sound thinking. And I said, yeah, I agree, you know. And then he went on to tell me what he did. He was 80, I think 84, 85 years old. Uh-huh. He had overseen all of the, in times past, they were called nursing homes.
Right.
But facilities for folks that have physical conditions that need 24-hour care.
Sure.
So they're in facilities. Well, his job was to oversee the psychiatric and psychological department, psychiatric, actually, he was a psychiatrist, department of all of these facilities in Middle Tennessee. So he was giving them their psychiatric care. And he said, you know, in my years of psychiatry, that's probably one of the most sound principles that we try to teach and nurture our patients in, is an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
A thankful spirit actually does heal the mind and heals the soul. And, you know, I thought, wow, isn't it interesting? Because we live in a day where science is just so high and lifted up, you know?
Yep.
And in reality, science is just trailing along behind truth. Truth has been truth, you know,
since
the beginning of time. And we've had God's precious word to guide us. And it's very plain when it talks about our need for gratitude and thankfulness. And, you know, who knew 2,000 years ago that in reality, at some point, the science would catch up and prove that truth from a scientific perspective, that indeed it does lower stress, which lowers our chances for heart disease and cancers and all those good things. So, you know, we have it on good authority from a show enough psychiatrist that we need to sing the hymns and count our blessings, that it actually does make a difference.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come on. Saved from sin, Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in, glory to His name. We'll sing glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet, cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. We'll sing glory to His name. Glory.
Our faith, and I even go back and remember the song that you did. The story I understand was it was somewhat impromptu, or it was just one of those magical moments in the studio with all of the homecoming friends and Glenn Payne, and you guys were singing "The Haven of Rest," and that was just a wonderful picture there, because young and old, but yet coming together around a truth, as we've been talking here, that's timeless and it's been around since. Well, the word was here before the earth was created, and that was
true. Absolutely.
So, that's good. That's something that you, I'm sure, still remember as a highlight, like it was yesterday.
Oh, gosh, with Glenn?
Yeah.
Most definitely. I mean, those guys, you know, I I find myself, as I'm doing my own concerts now and having to direct the flow of them and think of how, you know, what song fits where and what should be said here or anything, I'm finding myself quoting a lot of the old guys. I miss them, you know? And Glenn was one of those that, man, the opportunity to sing with him. And I always said about Glenn, he sang a singer, kind of like a musician plays an instrument. He got up in your face and he just pulled it out of you. You know, whatever you would sing from your toenails, you know, for Glenn, because of the enthusiasm and spirit that he conveyed. And, that's a missed figure in life. I think it's important, especially as it relates to Father's Day. We can have many fathers in life as we go through. Yeah. We think of them as you know, friends and maybe closer at times, brothers in Christ. But man, I think of all the older gentlemen who have put into my life who could have been my father, age-wise or grandfather. And as you grow and you spread your wings, you go out of your homes. And in my case, and in many people's case, they lose to death their earthly fathers. But God is so faithful to send other men in your life that have skin on, you know, guys with skin on that can be right here. You can allow to give you that same type of input.
Absolutely. Well, and on this project, there was another highlight for you as you think about this, as you think about going to people you look up to or heroes of the faith is a term that's thrown out a lot, but you had the chance to sing with if this guy is not a legend, I don't know who is, at 102, I think, George Beverly Shea, and a great song, Does Jesus Care?
Oh, man. Yeah, Daniel, that was a real highlight for me. 103, actually.
103,
now.
Yeah.
He, that's old enough to be a great-grandfather.
That's right.
Just a real, like you said, a giant in the faith and as a role model, just a great man, you know. And the beautiful thing about it is his experiences would stack up in such a way. I mean, he's had such vast experiences and opportunities that few men ever have. Would in your flesh cause you to be puffed up, you know, a bit, maybe tough to be around, you know, that kind.
Mm-hmm, right.
And man, what a humble heart, what a gentle spirit. We got to know him, or I did, through the years in singing on the Graham Crusades with the vocal band. And he and Cliff and Dr. Graham, and it just was, you know, I would always pinch myself saying, am I really up here singing with these three guys? And, you know, it was an atmosphere where we could foster relationships, so we did. And then So when I decided to do a hymns project, it just felt like a natural thing to ask Bev if he would be willing to sing. And honestly, I felt as though, you know, there was no doubt he would. And sure enough, his answer was, I would be honored to, Guy. And and so we took a team over to record him over at his place in Carolina, and just had a fabulous day, ended the day telling stories at his house and having cakes and coffee and listening to him play his organ.
Yeah.
He has five organs in his home.
Nice.
And one of them is a pipe organ, dude, under the floor. The pipes are under the house.
Wow.
And he sat down there and cranked that thing up. Man, it shook the whole neighborhood. And just had a blast. With a sweet man of God, and you know, who better with authority and pathos could deliver a message, a lyric like, Does Jesus Care?
Yeah.
When my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song, when my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks, is it aught to him, does he care? And then that voice saying, oh, yes, he cares.
I mean, yeah.
If there's anybody alive that ought to be able to speak to that, it'd be best. So.
And genuine is the word that comes to mind when I think of him. The times I've spoken to him, it's at his point in life, you know, it would be very easy, and we would all expect it for him to just sit and receive the honor and to answer the questions. But even in interviews, he has a way of turning the tables and will end up interviewing you with deep interest in your as to what you're doing in your own life. And that was just a cool thing. And
yeah, a very selfless man. I have to admit, though, I did one selfish thing, if you can call it that, while I was with him. I was challenged by my wife before I left. She said, "Babe, please kneel at that sweet man's feet and ask him to lay his hands on you and pray for you."
Yeah.
And so I did there at his house. And you're right. His first response is so beautiful. He said, oh dear, no, I'm not worthy to pray for you like that. And I said, "Oh, Bev, honestly, I can't think of anybody else I'd rather." Mm. And he did so humbly and gently say such a beautiful prayer. And my goal was, "Oh God, please give me the same type of humility and grace to go through life with." And, great man.
Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are tried and have failed to resist some temptation strong, when for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow
dream.
cares. Daniel Britton Friends.
Rock of Ages. Left for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side, which flowed, be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labor of my hand can fulfill thy law's demand. Could my zeal no longer know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Oh, how marvelous! Oh, how wonderful! Shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. It's a rock of ages, a cliff for me. Let me hide myself in thee, singing, oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful is my Savior.
Guy Penrod, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. The project is titled Hymns, and we're also talking about Father's Day. And, you know, I don't know what your thoughts were growing up, Guy, even when you started dating and then you started thinking about marriage. You know, I think most of us who think about marriage at some point in our lives and make that decision, you know, we naturally might start thinking of a family, starting a family. So at what point did you start seeing yourself as a father, and not just a father of one or two kids, but a father of eight? I mean, would, if I knew you as a kid and then I came and met you now and not knowing anything about you this many years later, would I be surprised? Or would it seem to kind of fit the childhood Guy Penrod, that you love kids and you love pouring yourself into other lives like this?
Wow, great question, Daniel. You know, I have to say, it would probably look very consistent with kind of the type of kid I was as a kid. I didn't have, though, this context of a large family in my immediate family. Mm-hmm. It was my dad and mom, and then me and my younger sister. She's 18 months younger than I. I didn't come from a large family per se, but my dad was the youngest of 12. Mm-hmm. And we visited out in fact, in this neck of the woods where we live now, Tennessee. They were in Southern Illinois and Kentucky. And we visited out here a good bit as a kid. And so I was around a large immediate family in some ways, you know, and got a context for that. And I was the weirdo kid who I got put in the nursery, you know, when I was 10 and 12, looking after little kids because we just got along, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't know why at that age. I just hung out with the little guys while they had you know, prayer meetings and fellowships and things, and they all liked me. And so I remember that love of children obviously was present early. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have a context to want a big family. You know, I was really rather benign. I didn't care one way or another. I was just, as I went through college and I met my beautiful wife and we married, we didn't have a lot of discussion about it. We were just goo goo gaga, you know, like it is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what I would say to it other than God gave me a beautiful woman and we did what came natural. And before long, you know, a bunch of these kids were here. And in fact, the other night, oh, I can't remember where I got home from, but we finally had everybody at the table again, having picked our college kid up.
Right.
And they got to talking and just laughing and goofing off. And Angie and I were sitting there on the same side of the table kind of quietly. And I looked over to her, you know, and I said, can you believe we made all these people? You know, so you kind of sit on the outside looking in sometimes. And I just wouldn't, I don't know that I would have had the faith to step out in a plan and to think of, okay, we want to have three, or we want to have five, or we want to have 10, you know?
Right, right.
I didn't know that to think. And I think we just naturally, organically reached a place where then Andrew said, you know, I think I'm done having babies. We got our girl. And up to then, she was just gung-ho, let's just keep having kids. And God supplies, and he calls them our inheritance from him and his word. And so there wasn't any real reason to stop. Until there was a reason to stop. So,
sure.
He supplies, I think, is what I would say to it, to folks that maybe haven't started their family yet. Just love God, trust him, trust his ways, love each other, and then do what comes natural. And God is a very capable God, and he deals with us in real time. So, as we have children, he supplies grace to understand how to interact with them. As we have need of more finances, he does that. As we have need of more time, he gives us wisdom to know what to cut out and what to include. And I just think, man, he's got it as we just lean on him. And we're walking, talking proof of that.
Guy Penrod. The project we're listening to is Full of Hymns, simply titled that, Hymns, and we're talking fatherhood on this Father's Day special edition of Daniel Britt and Friends.
By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he guides us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die, for we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for a thoughtless word or deed, and we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. Well, now, by and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered, better by and by. Sing now, by and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by.
Daniel Britt and Friends, and find out what's ahead at danielbritt.com.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground. Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking.
Guy Penrod's our guest today. The project is Hymns, and Guy Penrod, whose dad was a pastor in Texas. You know, Guy, as you think about that, sometimes you kind of come away with thinking, a preacher's kid might come away with a jaded point of view of Christianity or a very rich view of the faith. So what was it for you? What was that like growing up in kind of the center of attention in the church? Maybe a lot of expectations on you. How has that affected your life?
Again, good question. It is definitely a potential for a skewed view or a selfish view of life. We were focused on a lot as kids, being the pastor's kids, and dad pastored successful churches that he grew from zero. Hmm. So it was living in a glass bowl, fish bowl, so to speak. But I had great parents who were very grounded. They were normal. They made mistakes and they had great success. And, I look at my childhood very fondly. I love, all of the interaction, the time spent with the people of God, I think, is a precious thing. And especially as I've aged, that has become sweeter and sweeter to me. But I don't know. I'm kind of weird in that way. I kind of pick a bone with people who feel, there's a reason to knock the church and I know people get hurt along the way, but the church is made up of humans. And so there's always going to be, hurt feelings, human behavior. Is going to happen because the church is made up of humans. It's not a place we go to. It's who we are. Once you are born into Christ, you are in the church, and it's an organism, not just an organization and a building. And we go to meetings, but we don't go to church. We are church. So it is, in that regard, a very, it's going to be a messy process. And God said, that's why I had to send my son to do all the work. So he did all the work. Now, the rest of your human experience, for the most part, is going to be a work in progress, a cleanup process, and me using you and you having great success and then you failing. And so that's church. It ebbs and flows. And so I think, I agree. I hearken to fathers in my life. And this one is Bill Gaither, who used to say from stage very regularly, I'm not one of these who knocks the church. I feel kind of like folks in Noah's day. I'm sure the ark got smelly when they were out there floating and wondering when the floods would subside. Yeah. They wish they were off of that thing, but it was the best ship afloat.
Yeah.
And so I feel that same way regarding the church. And so I didn't grow up jaded or I don't know what you'd say, messed up by my experiences there. Great folks. They love God, they love people, and I believe they transferred a love of his ways and him and people to us as kids, and we've tried to walk in that. We don't do it perfectly, but definitely see that is the point, and so I just encourage fathers out there that have kids who are growing up in a fishbowl, just love God and love people. And kids that are in the bowl, realize it's not that you won't do it perfectly, but do it honestly if you can and transparently. And life tends to work itself out in that way.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine. On the everlasting arms, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning on the everlasting.
have I to fear, leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure.
Latest album full of hymns. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart. My fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first sun. We know
and Friends with Guy Penrod on Hymns and Fatherhood, a project that is out now. It's available at guypenrod.com. It's full of some outstanding hymns, no doubt hymns that you grew up singing in church and we'll be able to sing along with. And as we think about Father's Day, obviously Guy is a father of eight, and you had a father who was a pastor. And so there's a different day here, Guy, and I've heard this so much, and as it relates not only to parenting, but also as it relates to how we see God as a father. And the word father is used a lot when we look and think about God. So do you think that there's a large portion of society that cringes when they hear us refer to God as father because they think of their own earthly father who maybe abandoned them or wasn't present or was not that kind or not the best role model? And so therefore it's hard for them to get their mind around what a loving father like God, who he really is and can be in their lives.
Oh, yeah, I would agree. I'm sure that there are those complications, Daniel, as it relates to the different people's experiences with their fathers. I can't really speak to those because mine was a positive experience and I'm thankful for it. So obviously we have to have a lot of grace for people in general, everyone. But for those who have had negative experiences in their childhood with their parenting and their fathers, my heart goes out to them and our prayers go out to them. But you're exactly right in saying that we have a loving Father in God. And I think that rather, you know, our focus rather than being from a perspective of it's hard, yes, it is hard, but that's God's job as a whole is to fix. I mean, his whole purpose and interaction with humanity has been from a I got to fix it perspective, period, from the beginning. And, you know, the word is clear regarding us prior to coming to God. We're dead in trespasses and sin, and he makes us alive. There's no bigger fix than that right there, to take something dead and make it alive. And then he begins in the minutiae of our life and the relationships of healing and restoring and patching and then replacing memories, interactive abilities, skills, you know, all of those things. We become products of our Heavenly Father's grace and mercy as he ministers in our lives. So I would say from as authoritative view as I can, based on the word, that those even that have not had positive role models as parents and input, they really can't. You can rest in the reality that God understands at the very most minute levels and is capable of moving into your spirit, into your soul, into your mind, and reprogram, rework, heal, forgive, give you the ability to forgive and to grow through and past. And that when we do that and we then take the focus off of ourselves and look outwardly, I think that's where then joy then starts to creep in and come from, which we know is our strength from God. And the healing can take place even in the most tragic of situations as we realize that God will meet all of those needs that hadn't been met on a human basis.
Guy Penrod, and the project is called Hymns, obviously wonderful foundation, and if you grew up with a father who provided that foundation, you know why we picked these two topics to go together. In fact, I'm reading a book right now by Dennis Rainey, Family Life Today, and it's called Stepping Up. It's a call to authentic manhood, really, in all the stages of what it means to be a man, including being a father. And I think there's some good stuff there. I think, Guy, what you've said has been spot on, and obviously, when you look at the truths of Scripture, whether you hear it in these hymns or you go to the Bible itself, to the Word directly, you're gonna find it there, and you're gonna find it in Christ, who was a wonderful model for us.
Right.
And you sing it so beautifully here, Guy. And GuyPenrod.com is where you find it. And I know we started off saying some very nice things about you. You said, whoa, put on the brakes there. You know, I'd like to be thought of as a model father, but I think we're all in the same boat if we're honest with ourselves and with others, that we try our best, but there are times when we fall, and for that, we're grateful for the grace.
Yeah, and I think, and I understand the usage. I hope I didn't offend you jumping on you like that. But yet, what I'm pointing at is really we have one model.
Yeah.
If you really want to model yourself, we're told model ourselves after the man, the perfect man, the God man, Jesus.
Yeah.
And so that's where I try to point everyone. Now, I do understand that, man, as we live life, we're going to have influence in life.
Yeah.
And so you have a world of influence, Daniel, obviously doing what you do, and then most importantly at your home, and you're going to wield it.
Yeah.
And we do have to be responsible with how we wield it. And the reality is it won't be perfect, but the prayer is that it will be consistent and that we will walk with integrity and truth. And to that end, I say, you know, let's band together and may we rise up and may we live in a generation of men who do take fathering responsibly. And it's one thing to be able to have a baby, but it's a whole nother thing to raise them and to father them. And it requires dying to self, and it requires, you know, a whole bunch of sacrifice along the way, but man, the rewards far outweigh it. And I think that's one of the things God is raising up. Is men who are saying, here am I want to step in the gap for kids that don't have a good father and then foster them or adopt them. Or as young guys like us that just started having families, we're going to do it and we're going to chase God at it.
Yeah.
So congrats, brother, as you've done the same thing.
Well, the legacy is there in these hymns, and the legacy is there for all of it. Even, you know, mothers, fathers alike. I think there's certainly something special that God has given us all in doing that and living that life that he's called us to. So, Guy, thanks for your time today. This has been great. And, of course, the music, as always, you've got that voice that just sings a lyric so purely and boldly at the same time.
Oh, Daniel, thank you, buddy. I certainly appreciate you playing it, knowing that we work hard to put them out. And so thanks for getting it out so folks can listen and be encouraged. And my prayer is that it brightens your day. We tried to put it in keys where people could sing along with it. Put it on while they're cooking or mowing the lawn with headphones on or whatever, and it would bring a smile and a song to their lips. So, our pleasure. God bless.
You've been listening to Daniel Britton, friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews, again, online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britton, friends.